Hello, and welcome to your wrestling news brief on the unofficial WWE podcast. My name is Sam Sokolowski, and let's just get a couple housekeeping things out of the way real quick before we dive right in. You can get at me on Twitter, at Ixolokos, Ixolokos, or my last name backwards. If you want to follow me, I'm talking a little bit of wrestling, sharing some good college football memes on Saturdays, and completely disappearing from the platform for days at a time as well. You can get at Matt on Twitter, at wrestling_audio. Follow him for all of his latest updates, news, and info. And make sure you jump on Patreon, patreon.com/WWE podcast, $1 a month. You're going to get that Discord server. You're going to get priority access to the mailbag and all of that other fun stuff. So, without further ado, let's dive right in today. Talking about CM Punk, he was on Wrestling with Brandon Walker, a podcast, talking Hulk Hogan and picking AEW over WWE. And there's a couple quotes in here that I really like, and I'm going to run them off for you real quick. He compared his return to receiving a stone-cold pop, was his words. Here's his quote. "It's like the kids say, there's levels to this, and you don't know until you ascend to those levels. And one of the things I've always hated about the wrestling business is that there's exceptions to the rule. Some people are good about it, but there's always been people who have gotten to a certain level, and they're almost taught, and the culture is fostered for them to believe that they need to make sure nobody else gets to that level. They don't want anybody to steal their spot. You throwing my name in the hat with somebody like Steve Austin, who's arguably the biggest star the business has ever seen. A lot of this is subjective, though. You can make the argument, oh, well, Hulk Hogan is a bigger star than Steve Austin. But then you look at the business periods and eras and box office receipts and all that other stuff. I think Hogan is a piece of crap. So obviously, I'm going to be like, Steve Austin, yay. What it feels like, I don't have the words to describe what it feels like. What I know, what I feel like, is I want to help everybody on the AEW roster freaking get there. That's what I know," end quote. Couple of things. One, he didn't say crap, and he didn't say freaking, but I didn't really want to go back and try to bleep myself, so just amended it a little bit there. Taking shots at Hulk Hogan, which I am always here for. I'm not old enough to remember his heyday, and going back and watching some of that older stuff is, I mean, you could blindfold me and throw a pair of earmuffs on me, and I could tell you how every single Hulk Hogan match has ever ended. Not to mention, I grew up in the era where he was on the reality show with his family, and that was just cringy, and I never could stand it. He's got all kinds of history with, you know, his behavior and opinions and that kind of thing, so not surprising to see CM Punk take a shot at him, but I don't know. I'm not a Hogan fan, so I'm going to take any opportunity to talk about people taking pot shots at Hulk Hogan. Comparing, the podcaster was comparing Steve Austin to CM Punk, and the returns, at least, as far as the crowd pop goes. And I'm a little too young, and I didn't really get into WWE fully until Stone Cold was kind of already the sheriff. He was retired from competing, and I obviously would have gone back and watched all of his matches with The Rock and, you know, his run in the Attitude Era, but I wasn't there for it at the time. So I would agree with him. I would say that, I mean, I watched the AEW debut of CM Punk, and you couldn't hear his entrance music. I think it was referenced on the podcast that Mimi did on his debut. You couldn't hear Cult of Personality. And, I mean, there are certainly pops that Stone Cold got, you know, on the rewatches I've done on Peacock, where you couldn't hear that. I mean, you heard the glass break, but that was it. And so I'm not really surprised. And then lastly, speaking about the AEW roster, that's just exactly what you want to hear from a guy with that kind of experience. And also just to be humble enough to realize that he's probably a little past his prime, and there are guys that he's going to be able to put over, guys that might not have been able to be the stars that they might be if CM Punk wasn't there on the roster to get in the ring with him and give him the rub. And then following up the end of that quote, speaking about moving to AEW, he had this to say, quote, "I'll go ahead and tell everybody. I had the option. And I went, well, It's the devil you know against the devil you don't. I know what I'm getting into if I go to work for Vince. I looked at what I would be doing. I've done it all. Who would I wrestle on that side of the fence? On the AEW side of things, I'm like a kid on Christmas. A kid like Dante Martin. I watch him and the stuff he can do. I feel like I'm watching a 1995 Nitro where it has a different feel to it. It feels gritty, end quote. First of all, if you're Dante Martin, holy crap, you want to talk about a glowing recommendation. That's fantastic for him. I find the comparison to a 95 Nitro show really telling because I do think that that's kind of where AEW is right now. They're on fire. I mean, they can do no wrong, seemingly. And I was always a WWE guy, and I wasn't. I was, again, around really when WCW folded, the invasion angle, and when those guys came into the WWE. I wasn't watching Nitro, so I can't speak on the vibe and the feeling that you got tuning in every week. But it is very telling that he compares it to a Nitro in its heyday. And from my understanding and my understanding of kind of the Wednesday Night Wars and or Monday Night Wars, not Wednesday Night Wars, Monday Night Wars, I do understand that for a while, WCW was the place to be. I mean, yeah, it was appointment television. So, I mean, I'm sure he's not going to want to give WWE any credit that he doesn't feel that they deserve, but I did really like that he was able to compare it to that. And I agree with him. It does feel a little grittier. It feels a little more real. I'm sure that's the TV rating. If I remember correctly, AEW is TV-14, and of course, WWE programming is TV-PG. So they can obviously get away with a little bit more, and they can say a little bit more. So that's probably part of the reason why it feels gritty, and I think that might be the word that why he used that word. But still, I'm in complete agreement, and I just really love that CM Punk came into this company and thought to himself, how can I help the young guys, the next generation, get better? I look at it like, you know, in the NFL or the NBA. I don't know if any of you guys are big NBA fans. I'm religiously follow professional basketball. Go Hornets, LaMelo Ball is the future. Anyway, sorry. Udonis Haslam for the Miami Heat. He has been on, I believe he retired this offseason. Maybe he's still on the roster. If he's not on the roster, I know that he has like a coaching gig or player development gig on the team. He played for Florida, the University of Florida in college. Got drafted by the Miami Heat in 03, somewhere in there, the early 2000s, and played his entire professional career for the Miami Heat. He is a Heat lifer, and I remember last year he appeared in one game, and he checked in the fourth quarter and immediately picked a fight to stand up for one of their rookies and got ejected instantaneously. Udonis Haslam isn't a rostered member of the Miami Heat because he's going to be helping them every night win a Larry O'Brien trophy. Udonis Haslam is on the Miami Heat to help the guys like Victor Oladipo and Jimmy Butler and now Kyle Lowry pursue those goals. I don't mean to get sidetracked with the NBA comparison, but CM Punk is very much in that same vein of, okay, I'm here, and I'm here to help you. I've still got my fastballs some nights, but I'm here to give you the rub. I'm here to elevate you. I'm here to make you guys look better and build this company for tomorrow. And that's the kind of long-time thinking that I think would make CM Punk an excellent executive with AEW when his days in the ring are over. One last thing that I want to mention about his interview on this podcast, wrestling. Again, when am I not going to find a reason to use that word? It was my favorite quote from the entire interview. Quote, I'm an artist. And I'm looking and I go, oh, I've never painted with that brush before. I can't wait to get a hold of that brush, end quote. I thought that was such an elegant way to put something kind of so medieval and violent, you know, wrestling, into a totally different frame of mind. I'm not an artist at all. I don't have any ability to draw, paint, anything like that, but I can definitely understand what he means by that. When you're working with the WWE, you know, you have the equipment, you know, the paint brushes in this analogy that they've laid out for you. And he probably got really used to working with those brushes. He clearly did because he was such an over character. He was such a great wrestler. He was an excellent member of WWE while he was there. But he looks at AEW and goes, "Whoa, those are some high quality paintbrushes, and I've never been able to get my hands on those. I've never been able to use those. I can't. I mean, I got to imagine the brush strokes would be so much clearer, and I would be able to pay more attention to detail with this fine tip brush." I think he looked over and saw these guys like Dante Martin, Darby Allin, and the like. And said, "Man, I want to go over there and I want to jump in the ring with these guys." It's what he said in the previous quote, and said he looked around at the WWE and said, "I've done it all. I've been there, done that, bought the t-shirt a couple of times. Why go back? There's no unfinished business." Similar to Tom Brady leaving the Patriots. He had done everything there is to do in Foxborough. He wasn't done playing football. But why continue to go back? He'd done it all, and then some. Anyway, check out the entire interview if you'd like. It was a good listen. I enjoyed it. And honestly, CM Punk is just I feel like it would be a lot of fun to interview. I think he always comes across as genuine, and maybe that's just because, you know, now in the stage of the career he's in, he feels like he can be a little bit more genuine. But I thought it was a good listen. I thought it was really entertaining, and obviously there were a lot of quotes that I wanted to go over that. In there. But moving along, this is not surprising at all. I just wanted to mention it because it is officially confirmed, according to Mark Middleton of WrestlingInc.com. Goldberg and Lashley will be at Crown Jewel. Not surprising, not shocking. And in hindsight, we shouldn't be surprised that Bobby Lashley lost the title when Goldberg said that he was coming for Bobby Lashley's soul. He made it clear that it wasn't about the championship anymore. So the championship didn't need to be on the line for this event at Crown Jewel. So again, it was all but confirmed prior to this report, but with the official confirmation coming from Mark Middleton, I wanted to pass along to you guys that Thursday, what is it? Thursday, the 21st of October at like 1 p.m. I'll be at work, so I will be, well, I should say I'll be pretending to work while I have the pay-per-view on my phone. But yeah, it's officially confirmed. We're going to see Goldberg v. Lashley part two in Saudi Arabia at Crown Jewel. Next, Alexa Bliss is off TV, quote, for a few months. This is according to Wrestling Inc.'s Raj Giri. I had a sneaking suspicion watching Extreme Rules Sunday that the whole ordeal with Lily and the Alka-Seltzer tab. I mean, Matt put it great. It looked like an Alka-Seltzer tab. I thought that whole segment was kind of geared and directed towards, hey, we're gonna do a little bit of an overhaul, especially in the promos leading up to the match, where Charlotte talked about, oh, you want to talk about originality and you know how she wanted to drag the old Alexa and calling her Lexi, her real name. It kind of laid the groundwork for us to lose this the Lily doll and this Twisted Bliss kind of character that we've had. But I'm not sure if it's for a character. That's my assumption. I think it's going to be an overhaul of the character, whether or not she reverts back to kind of what she was doing before she linked up with Bray Wyatt, or if they go a completely different direction. But I would assume that if she's going to be gone for a few months, maybe we see her again around Survivor Series? I don't know. A few months is very vague. To me, that could be 2 months. That could be 4 months. 6 months. I don't know. But I had that gut feeling on Sunday watching pay-per-view, and I think it was Monday morning or Monday afternoon. I saw that she would be off of TV for the foreseeable future. I believe I wrote it in the mailbag a few weeks ago and compared her to a dollar store version of Margot Robbie in Suicide Squad, her Harley Quinn character. And no sooner did I put that in my mailbag response did I start to turn in favor of Alexa Bliss. I'm not really sure why. I can't explain it, but I'm not against her changing her character. But if she were to stick with kind of the same vibe, the same look, and maybe just drop the Lily character, the Lily doll, and go back to a more, keep the look, but maybe go back to more of a personality that she had beforehand, that would be fine too. We're gonna have to wait and see. Obviously, we're gonna have a few months without Alexa Bliss on TV, and given all of the return of Sasha Banks and all that other stuff, the draft coming up, they're gonna be shaking up the rosters anyway. So it's probably, it's, I don't think we're gonna miss her all that much. Obviously, she's a phenomenal talent. She's been in the ring though, what, twice in the last 6 months? SummerSlam and Extreme Rules, right? Did Charlotte and Alexa have a match before Extreme Rules? I don't think so. But yeah, she will be off of TV, quote, for a few months. Moving on, this is via Dave Meltzer. WWE has informed its networks of some of its draft plans. Fox and USA know, quote, a few things when it comes to, quote, key superstars. But Meltzer did add that the big names have been decided, but nothing beyond that. Not entirely surprising that creative has like a week. No, the draft starts this Friday, correct? This Friday is October 1st. Yeah. So they have a couple days, and as far as we're aware, they obviously know where they're going to be putting their Big E's and their Bobby Lashley's and their Roman Reigns and their Charlotte Flair's. But I guess beyond that, they don't know. Does that point towards like a war room style, like NFL style draft thing like they've done? Maybe. I hope not. Nobody at Fox and USA actually cares, right? I mean, I'm sure that there are guys at both networks that are wrestling fans. But like Matt pointed out, nobody's going to be jumping for joy like that over Dolph Ziggler. And Dolph Ziggler is great. I'm not trashing Dolph Ziggler at all. That's like freaking out because your favorite team grabbed this really good punter in the sixth round of the NFL draft. It's like, yeah, cool. Like you filled a need, you filled a positional need, but you didn't exactly draft Trevor Lawrence. You know what I mean? So, I'm disappointed to hear that, they only have the key superstars figured out thus far. But I mean, maybe that'll lead to a little bit more excitement, maybe a little bit more drama, some curveballs thrown our way, or something crazy happens, somebody gets drafted somewhere that we didn't really expect. But I will be honest, and I'll be bummed out if Roman Reigns is not still on SmackDown. My only complaint about that guy and his run is I could probably like play a game of Call of Duty in the time it takes for that guy to get to the ring. You know what I mean? And that's okay. I mean, it's a fun entrance and the music is great. It sets the tone for whatever he's about to do. But man alive, they really milk it for everything they can. And lastly here today, this is also this is just kind of a throwaway thing. I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was great. This is via the Graham Norton Show, who has some excellent interviews from all walks of life. This interview actually was with Daniel Craig. Daniel Craig The Graham Norton Show said, quote, Daniel Craig, by the way, I don't know if you guys know James Bond. He's the current James Bond. On the Graham Norton Show, he said, quote, I heard this crack. Then I went, oh God, no. And then ran away because I thought he was going to come after me, end quote. This was during the filming of Spectre. Batista is in that movie. While they were filming the movie, Daniel Craig accidentally actually broke Batista's nose during filming. And I thought it was hilarious that Daniel Craig immediately started running away because he was afraid he was going to come after him. I would do the exact same thing, Daniel. I would have no desire to find out if Batista was actually upset with me. Later, Batista tweeted a photo confirming the incident, and I think he said something like, I took this right after I got cleaned up, and you can tell his nose was jacked up. I retweeted it, so if you're following me on Twitter, you want to take a quick peek at the picture, you can. It's up there. And just as an aside, like, I know he doesn't need the extra plug, but follow Dave Bautista on Twitter. He's a good follow. I mean, the dude is wholesome and he answers questions and he talks about life and he gives some good advice. And I don't know, maybe it's just me because I kind of line up in the everything that he seems to tweet is something that's relatable to me, but I love it. Give him a follow. I mean, hell, he's Bautista. Why wouldn't you want to follow him? But anyway, guys, that is going to do it for me today. I am Sam Sokolowski. This is the unofficial WWE podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Ixolokos, IKSOLOKOS, or my last name backwards. Get at Matt on Twitter at wrestling_audio. Get on Patreon. You should have done it yesterday. Discord server for the pay-per-views. Tons of fun. Patreon.com/WWE podcast. Again, I am Sam Sokolowski. I hope you have a fantastic, fantastic, fantastic rest of your day, and I will be talking to you again very, very, very soon.